is a South African song. It comes from the townships, locations, reservations, whichever, near the cities of South Africa, where all the black South Africans live. The children shout from the streets as they see police cars coming to raid their homes for one thing or another. They say, "Kauleza mama," which simply means, "Hurry mama, please, please don't let them catch you." Kauleza mama, kauleza mama, kauleza mama, kauleza mama, kauleza mama, sheshi sawo. Na gama poisa zongene njini mama pati kauleza mama. Na gama poisa zongene njini mama pati sheshi sawo.
Internationally renowned South African singer and political activist Miriam Makeba singing the song Kauleza on a Swedish television show in 1966. The song is from the album An Evening with Belafonte and Makeba, which won them both a Grammy Award in 1965. Or rather, the show was in 1965, not in 66. Well, Miriam Makeba died at age 76. Known affectionately as Mama Africa, Makeba suffered a heart attack as she collapsed on stage during a concert in Italy. Her performance was in honor of about half a dozen African immigrants who were killed in a suspected mafia shooting, and also in support of an Italian anti-mafia writer who has faced threats. Banished from her native South Africa for more than 30 years, Makeba was internationally revered for her songs, highlighting the oppression of apartheid rule in her country, just as the one we've been listening to. During her exile, she traveled the world, endured five marriages, including one to Black Panther leader Stokely Carmichael, even fleeing with him to Guinea. She became the first African woman to win a Grammy Award and finally returned home in 1990 after Nelson Mandela was released from imprisonment. Upon hearing the news of Makeba's death, the former South African president issued a statement early this week and said, "She was a mother to our struggle and to the young nation. It was fitting that her last moments were spent on stage enriching the hearts and lives of others and again in support of a good cause." Well, we are joined now on the line by Gerald Lamel, who is the Executive Director of Africa Action and has followed Makeba's career throughout the years. Welcome to Uprising, Gerald.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Sonali.
So first, let me ask you how you responded to the news of her death and what Miriam Makeba has meant to you personally.
Well, it was devastating to me. I am African American, but I did grow up in Africa. I grew up in Kenya and Tunisia, but I was introduced to Miriam Makeba's music very early in life by my father. But when I started my working career, I started as the deputy director of African Affairs at the Phelps Stokes Fund, and we used to bring refugee scholars from exile camps in Namibia and South Africa to the U.S. for study. And one of the things that almost every one of the scholars used to bring was a tape of Miriam Makeba's music. Miriam's music was banned in South Africa, yet everybody, as a matter of pride, had her music. Music was so beautiful. That was the first time I ever heard her with the Skylarks. And I didn't turn back since. It's just absolutely beautiful music.
Now, in addition to the beauty of her music, the political significance and the message of hope and courage it sent to South Africans, but you know, people all over the world, can you talk about what that meant to people, to yourself, the political message in her music?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things is Miriam Makeba brought the struggle of apartheid to around the globe. And particularly through the continent of Africa, where there were a great deal of struggle against the colonial governments, yet the particular problem of apartheid wasn't as well known except through the efforts of Miriam Makeba and people like her. But perhaps the most significant impact she had is as a woman activist from Africa. She had the double whammy against her of trying to raise the voice for women's rights and human rights as an African and as a woman, and yet she managed to do it not only in 1959 with her appearance in Come Home Africa, an anti-apartheid documentary, but also testifying, calling for a boycott of South Africa at the United Nations in 1963. You could not get a more powerful symbol. Here's a woman who was tremendously gifted. She could have been one of those exceptions, touring the world and making fabulous amounts of money, yet she chose to remain conscious, chose to be a leader, chose to inspire millions of men and women activists, including me.
And in the early years of her career, she really struggled. I mean, she didn't really make much money at all.
No. In fact, no, she didn't. You know, you could imagine trying to sing what they call the township jazz in apartheid South Africa. It was going to be very, very difficult, and she ultimately left because of her outspokenness, left South Africa and found her passport revoked when trying to return. But she was never one she never had an enormous wealth, and certainly, or if she did, she never flaunted it. She remained true to her cause and to the people, and that was equally inspirational.
Now, she traveled extensively across the world. I understand she had 9 passports, was granted honorary citizenship in 10 countries, and one of the countries she wanted to come to was the United States. Harry Belafonte helped her come in. Can you talk about her relationship with Harry Belafonte?
Well, Harry, I always saw them as kindred spirits. Harry was also a extraordinarily talented entertainer who chose to use his intelligence to articulate the rights and of poor people around the globe. And he and Miriam were a natural couple. They both sang beautifully, but they also were just so impressive in articulating on behalf of poor people. And Harry brought her in. They put together a classic album, which is the Evening with Harry Belafonte. This is the album that I first heard. My father used to play it to death.
Which we just played a song from.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So I remember those sounds. They bring me right back to my youth. But she is, you know, Harry is such a great warrior, and I know he's hurting today, as well as Miriam's family and all of the people of South Africa and the world. But we're so blessed to have him and to have them together.
Well, Miriam Makeba was also a friend to Pacifica Radio. She performed for a fundraiser for KPFK here in LA's Coconut Grove at the Ambassador Hotel, which, of course, nobody, of course, realized back then that Robert Kennedy would be shot and killed there just 3 months after she did her concert. I want to play for you an excerpt of this amazing fundraiser preserved in the Pacifica Radio archives, where Miriam Makeba played to help raise money for KPFK. She's first introduced by actress Lena Horne.
The nicest duty I have to perform all day today here at KPFK is to introduce Miriam Makeba, a gracious lady, a magnificent talent, an electrifying personality. Live from my home, away from home, the Coconut Grove, the marvelous Miriam Makeba.
Our next song also comes from South Africa. This time it comes from the Transkei, and it's a Xhosa wedding song. Xhosa is my native language. Back home, those who do not speak Xhosa call the song the click song, simply because they find it rather difficult saying uqonqwa.
Hikari khale lena kutangu
Miriam Makeba performing at the Coconut Grove 40 years ago in support of KPFK. She died yesterday in Italy at age 76. We're paying tribute to her today with Gerald Lamel, Executive Director of Africa Action, who's been a fan for a very long time of her music and followed her career. Finally, Gerald, it was interesting about how she classified herself. She was very much against labels of any kind, and even in terms of her being a political artist, sometimes she shunned the label of being political.
Yeah, no, well, she was a human rights activist. She was a human, and you know, she to many, they saw her as Mama Africa. All she was doing was saying that poor people deserve to live in dignity, and people should not be discriminated against because of race. But, you know, the lasting image I'm going to have of her comes from a documentary. This was in 1990 when she had returned to South Africa and she was getting ready to make the film Sarafina. And I had the privilege of meeting the cast members of Sarafina before the movie. And so watching the documentary was particularly personal. But watching them when they first learned they were going to meet Miriam, and watching her when she learned that it was the time for her to meet the rest of the cast, and the door opens, the cast comes in, they immediately scream and they go up and hug her, and then suddenly it's silence because everybody in the room is crying, and it was just a very, very, very powerful moment. And that's leadership. That's what leadership is all about. That's what Miriam Makeba brought, a huge heart, a great intellect, a beautiful angelic voice, and strength and courage in the light against injustice.
Well, on that note, Gerald Lamel, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Gerald Lamel is Executive Director of Africa Action. And special thanks to the Pacifica Radio Archives for sharing that piece of music with us you just heard, and for preserving Miriam Makeba. By the way, their one-day fun drive is on November 18th. It's going to be an amazing day, and definitely tune in for that. For Sonali's subversive thought for the day, Miriam Makeba once said, "Everybody now admits that apartheid was wrong, and all I did was tell the people who wanted to know where I come from how we lived in South Africa. I just told the world the truth. And if my truth then becomes political, I can't do anything about that."